This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moment of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for your Bible and you.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman,
"Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?"
The woman said to the serpent,
"We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die."
"You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Keep this in your heart.
Voice of hope, we will bring you joy, keep hope alive.
Raise yourself for our next segment, Youth Corner.
So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Youth Corner. My name is Afreni Amakeke. I'm here with Lord Luke Adwebu, Acto Bonfo Jr. and Samoa Sabre Frempon. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much once again for joining me. We will start off from where we left off. In fact, previously we looked at what really is wrong with teenage pregnancy. You all did concur to the fact that God is against it. You quoted some Bible verses to buttress that point. Sexual immorality is one of the sins that, as the Bible has described, is within the body, that is the temple of God. So very, very abominable. But let's look now at the effects. We'll focus here on the effects on society, effects on the individual or the victim, the girl who gets pregnant, and also the church. So let's start with society. How does teenage pregnancy affects society? And does it at all? If it does, what are some of the effect?
Yes, it affects society so much. Like last year, Ghana Health Service did a statistics. They gave out a statistics of teenage pregnancy. It says 750,000 cases of teenage pregnancy last year. If all these young ladies are going to give birth, as my brother Ato gave example, that some died. Even the world record indicated that people died. Amongst these 750,000 people, some would definitely die. We have lost life. Such people, we don't know what God planned for them. Those people may be people who had plans for the nation, that they were going to build the nation, and they are gone. Secondly, these children are coming. Before you realize, even the parents who give birth to the children do not have any good background. They don't have any solid ground that they can lay their hands on to take care of the children. So at the long run, we are indirectly preparing vagabonds to the nation. And you know, worldwide, there are a lot of crimes going on. And when you go down to history, records indicate that most of these things that happen around the world, you go to the history of such people and realize it is either they are coming from a teenage parent or from a society where social vice is just something they play with. But when you look at the parent giving birth at that early stage, definitely society, when you take economically, they are not going to help society to grow. I don't mean increase in numbers, but I mean development. The parent doesn't have so much, so she's not even going to pay tax to help the nation develop. But rather, the nation's little tax that we've been able to collect will be used to take care of them, both the parent and the child. And if the parent is not able to take care of the child, and the child also grows, he becomes a street child, gradually develops to something else to hurt the society. So when you look at teenage pregnancy in its totality, you realize that the parent has a problem on the society because she is not well developed for growth in the society. Secondly, the child that is coming is not also fit.
So they both become a burden on society.
A burden on society. Yeah. Mm.
All right. You have said a lot of very interesting points, talking about the loss of valuable human resources,
that through the lives that are lost due to underdevelopment of those mothers or those girls who get pregnant, and other points. Let me come to up to now.
The society,
how does it affect, yeah, society,
individual, and the church.
Let's focus on society.
Okay, with the society, you realize that we have some pressure being put on our health services. Now, almost all the time, teenage girls who are not fully developed will have to go through the intensive care unit or a cesarean section or something like that. Now, the time that they are supposed to be in school, their parents will now have to spend extra resources taking care of them when people are expecting a baby. There are lots of things that go into it. Going to hospitals, their diet and all that. Even after, by God's grace, they give birth, the baby doesn't die. The mother is not working, it's not earning a salary. Now, an added mass has been added to the family, and then the father, mother becomes the breadwinner actually for their child and then their grandson at the same time. You also realize that there's this stigma that comes in, like all of a sudden a 15-year-old girl is a mother and she can no longer play with her other colleagues at school. Colleagues will also be teasing her. They will just make fun of her because she's pregnant, she's a mother, and now have to behave as such. So it brings a lot of irregularities and bad feelings in the society, health-wise, economically, and also like this normal society feeling of belongingness. Usually they become so stigmatized that they stay indoors, they don't come out, which actually prevents their complete development as individuals. At the end of the day, it can also affect their education, which I know we'll talk about that mostly when we go to the individual effect.
All right, Lord.
In society, we have all attested to the fact that everything is wrong with teenage pregnancy. That goes to say that society is the biggest sufferer, even though the individual suffers in a way, but the society suffers much more. When these things happen, you have a furtherance in a poverty cycle. Furtherance in the poverty cycle. That is if the pregnancy is coming to a place where there's poverty. And mostly it is so. Just yesterday, I was passing by where I work. I was passing by and I saw three teenage girls dancing Azonto with their kids. So their kids are in front of them, one like that, and they are dancing. When you give birth to a child, the child does not come with an outright character most of the times, even though they have their temperament and all that. It is socialization, what you put into the child. So as they do so, every Sunday evening, what does the child pick up? So you see this kind of lukewarm attitude in life, laziness, thinking life is all about dancing and all that. So like, society suffers a lot when it comes to teenage pregnancy because poverty is furthered. And then we also have increase in social vices. Some of these kids, when they get pregnant, they have to drop out from school, sell, and do all sort of things. And then, since they are not able to get much, their kids can't go higher. And if God does not grant them the grace, these children grow to become hardened criminals. Not only in holding guns, but duping people in so many ways. You see, so society suffers a lot.
I've heard it said before, we are looking now at the effect on the individual, but just before we go into that, I've heard people say that it is good girls that get pregnant, bad girls don't. Do you agree with this?
I don't agree. I don't agree because, first of all, you have to define who you say a good girl is and who a bad girl is. And then, secondly, those boys, they don't care whether you are good or you are bad. That adventure goes for all.
All right. That adventure definitely goes for all. We'll end this discussion here. We'll continue later on. I've been here with Lord Lugard Webu, Atobonfo Jr., and Samuel Sabre from Paul. My name is Afre Niamakig.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails, and letters.
Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive. They call him Jesus. I have a friend. The angels praise his name. When I was down, he lifted all of my burdens. Touch my life. Now I'm not the same. Oh, Master, they are voices. I'll send beyond the stars to thee. We thank you with our lives. Praise you when the souls will sing. I have a friend.
echoes of your
triumph. The only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
On the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for
you. Beloved in the Lord, we welcome you again to Moment of Truth. Let us come together as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray for your divine understanding. I pray for the impartation of your Holy Spirit to reach many hearts to the glory of God. May thou speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, we will continue with our part 2 series, Modern Miracles and Christianity. As we ended last time, Satan is working today with intensity of deceptive power to lead people astray. And he makes people sick and actually withdraws the sickness and they appear healed miraculously. And Satan has been doing this over and over again in time past and now. And as we near the end of time, Satan will multiply his miracles and healing powers. There will be a display of great power of miracles that will even test God's chosen people. Beloved, working miracles is not a necessary evidence to show that the agent is a servant of God, or his miracles are of God. Christ in Matthew 7:21-22 made a point that not all who call upon the name of the Lord will say, "Lord, Lord," will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." How can that be? Jesus is talking about deception in the house of God. Men who are wolves, but in sheep clothing, calling upon the name of God, performing miracles supposedly in the name of Christ, but not at all in the name of Christ. So Christ emphasized that even many who prophesied and cast out demons and show many wonders will not even enter into God's kingdom if what they are doing is not of God. It makes it very tricky in the sense that how can people perform miracles in the name of God but not using the power of God? That made a deception so strong enough for one to see his or her way very clearly. And the bottom line to know the truth is to know God's word. Jesus himself performed many miracles. But when he performs a miracle, he never used miracles to attract or to try to win convert or multitude by means of miracles. Anytime Christ healed a person, he told the person that, "See that you tell no one." In Matthew 8:2-4, the Bible says, "And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and he said unto him, 'See that you tell no one.'" Christ did not make miracles as a show, as a means of attraction. He often emphasized the word in Matthew 10:7-8. There he says, when he was telling his disciples to go into the world, he says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons." And he actually emphasized the preaching of the word over so-called miracle, because when the person's life is transformed by the power of God,
any form of healing wrought by God will be perfect and permanent. But now what we see today, we only touch on miracles supposedly of God without the power of the word of God that transformed the heart. In the raising of Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56, that was a great miracle. Jesus raising up a dead person who have died out of awakening him back to life again. And that can be a big show of display of power that Christ could have used to attract multitude unto himself. But at the end of it all, he told them in Luke chapter 8, verse 55 and 56, it says, then the spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And he and her parent were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one that what had happened. This is Christ raising up a girl out of death to life and charging the parent to tell no one what had happened. This should have been a great show of testimony to draw people to actually carry this girl along, possibly either video cameras in those days to take them along and to record and to play for most to know the great power of God. And he told them, look, tell no one. Christ never used miracles as a means of attraction. He did miracles when there was a need for a child of God to be healed. When the human power is unable to do, divine power intervenes. And when he does, it's to the glory of God and says, tell no one. A time Jesus healed an epileptic boy who was also deaf and dumb. And the Bible says in Mark 9, 40 to 20, when Christ saw that the multitude were rushing because they saw Christ about to perform a healing, but when he saw they were rushing to come and see what happened, he says, but when Jesus saw that the people came rushing together, he rebuked the spirit. He did it even before the multitude assembled. He didn't want any form of attraction, but wanted them to be moved by the power of the word of God. I want to give you some few examples about this in also Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. It says, and they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. When Christ heals, he gives caution. Don't publicize it. But if you want to do it in your home circle, to people of your home. Tell them the great thing that God has done. But don't go to the public shouting Christ doing this and that. I want them to be transformed by the power of the living God. In Luke chapter 8, 38, let's look to one other Christ example of healing. In Luke chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, there is another record of healing. It says, and now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but yet sent him away, saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. You see it? Christ never used miracles as a means of attraction. The demon possessed, healed, begged to stay with Christ. But I said, no, don't follow me. Return to your home. Tell your people the great thing God has done for you. So Christ charged those whom he healed that they should tell the good news only in the home circle, not outside the home. You need not make any public show about it. Today, what do we see? You see advert or miracles on the radio, on the television, in posters, on tapes of testimonies demonstrating the power of God, supposedly of miracles wrought. But Christ says, tell no one, go back to your own home, except people of your own house. Miracles were not signs of attractions. They were God's power to restore his image back in humanity. Deliverance in the Lord. as we look into this series, that God himself will give you understanding to know what is the will of God. Father, may you bless all our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your servant, Pastor Gene Y. Aguado.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 30 70 51 058 or +233 20 87 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.